You are listening to BensTorah.com.
A shir on Hilchos Chanukah, and I'd like to share with you a shah that I was asked a week or so ago. Some of you might have heard it, and you'll hear it a second time, but we'll talk about the issues at hand. Somebody in the shul is Baruch Hashem making aliyah in a few days on Chanukah. And because he's making aliyah on Chanukah, we don't want him to delay making aliyah, because it's a mitzvah, mitzvah rabbah. You're allowed to be over Nisa Drabbanan to be the kind of mitzvah Yishuvah. It's a lot of tell a guy to write a shtar on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do for other mitzvahs. Usually in a shvus to shvus, but for making aliyah, you only need one shvus in LA to Nisa Drabbanan. So the question would be that he's sold his house here to make aliyah, but he doesn't yet own a house in Eretz Yisrael. So there's nowhere where he could ask somebody as a shliach to light on his behalf at that location of his real home. That would have been the ideal. If you're traveling, right? So you ask somebody who's going to be in your house, or if no one's going to be in your house, ask an next door neighbor to light on your behalf in your house, in your absence. However, this person doesn't have a house. He's literally homeless because he sold his house here, but he didn't yet move into a house in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be staying at some relatives until he gets his own place. So he's homeless. If he's homeless, what should he do about lighting candles in the airport where he will be, b'shas hadlaka, or the evening when he'll be on the plane? So the first thing that I said, well, theoretically, if you're homeless, you don't have a chiyuv of hadlaka. So you're putter. It's no different than somebody who's on a desert island on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and doesn't have a shofar. So you're putter. You can't do the mitzvah. We'd love for you to do the mitzvah. You want to do the mitzvah, but you can't. Sorry, buddy. After learning the sugya a little bit more in depth, I realized it's more complicated than that, and that's what I'd like to share with you this evening. So let's look at the very beginning of the sugya, which is source one, Gemara and Shabbos Daf Chaf Gimel. And here, the sugya is really going to be based on how do we understand one line of the Gemara and maybe one Rashi. That will be the crux of this sugya. So Gemara and Shabbos tells us, Hamad l'knei shel Chanukah tzarech levarech. Of course, we make three brachas. The first night, we make Asher Kedushanu, we make Shas Anisim, and we say Shachiyah on the first night. Rav Yirmiyah, HaRoeh Ner Shel Chanukah Tzarech Levarech, can't still make a bracha on seeing the candle. And that's what we're going to have to figure out. What is the din of this Roeh, Birchas HaRoeh? Amar Rav Yehuda Yom Rishon HaRoeh Mevarech Shtayim, Umadlik Mevarech Shalosh. There's one additional bracha that's recited for the madlik that the roeh does not recite. What is the one that you omit on the fine. Look at Rashi. Haroeh, ha'over bashuk, v'roeh be'echad ha'chatzeres dolek. You're walking down the street and you see in a distance a menorah, so you'll say a bracha on seeing it. But let me ask you a question. If you have a house and you're lighting your own menorah, so that's how you're going to light. You're going to light all three brachas when you light your own candle. So who is this roeh whom we're talking about? Says Rashi, this is what we're going to have to focus on. It's interesting that he has to quote this individual who I don't even know whom he is referring to. Rashi, very unusual. I don't know any other place, I'm not saying there isn't. I don't know if any other place where Rashi quotes for some that we'll see pretty soon is very obvious almost. He's quoting Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbeinu Yaakov. That what this birchas haroeh lo huskikah bracha zu ella lemisha lo hidlik bebeiso adayin, someone who didn't yet light in his house. Not sure what that word adayin means. Only yoshev besvina. What does it mean by yoshev besvina? Yoshev besvina means simple way to read it is someone who doesn't have a house to light in. He's on a boat, so therefore, if he's on the boat, it's not a bias. It's not a bias, so he's homeless, he's on a boat, so he would make the bracha. So the only one who can make this birchas haroeh is somebody, presumably, who's homeless. That would be a simple reading of Rashi. So I presume that if I take this and apply it to my friend here in our shul who's making aliyah, he's homeless. So what could he do? Well, there's nothing he could do. He could say birchas haroeh if he flies overhead and sees a really big chabad in some park. Well, that we'll hopefully talk about later. Also, if that counts, so I guess he's going to be stuck. Well, he doesn't have a house. He's homeless. So it doesn't matter, candle or electric. That's not going to matter if he doesn't have a house to light it. So we're going to see this point come a little bit clearer as we go. And we're going to get to the lumdus in about 2 minutes. First, we have to do a little bit more of broaden our knowledge base a little bit more. And then we're going to be able to get to a very gishmak lumdus hakira about the nature of hadlakas near Chanukah. So comes Tosfos in Sukkah, of all places, not in Shabbos, not by the regular place in where we usually learn the inyanim of Chanukah. Comes to Tosfos in Sukkah and says the following. Asks the following. Haroah ner shel Chanukah tzarech levarach. Frek Tosfos. B'shaar mitzvos kigon lulav sukkah lo tokinu levarach haroah el gabi ner Chanukah. Tosfos has the funniest question. How come you have a birchas haroah, this special birchas haroah by Chanukah candle, but not by somebody. See, lulav, why can't I make a bracha? That I am shaking a lulav. I see you sitting in a bracha, that I see you sitting in a sukkah. The same way I see you light a candle, I can make a bracha, that I see you lighting a candle. So why can't I make a bracha when I see you sitting in a sukkah? Now, without seeing Tosfos' answer, what would you answer? What? You would say that sukkah is a mitzvah shebegufo, as opposed to menorah is a mitzvah on a bias. And why in the world does a birchas haroah have to do with mitzvahs on a bias as opposed to mitzvah shebegufo? You're not doing the mitzvah in either case. We're talking about birchas haroah, not the mitzvah. You're telling me a chiluk between two ways to do a mitzvah. I'm asking you, the guy is not doing a mitzvah at all. He's a roah. He's not active. He's not doing the mitzvah. So what's the difference if you see somebody doing mitzvah of sukkah, you see somebody doing mitzvah of hadlakas haner? You're a roah. Ah, that's what I would have thought. That we would only say when the mitzvah is persumanisa, that it makes sense. There's an idea of seeing it, you're somehow being mitztaref. You're not doing the maisa of persumanisa, but by seeing it, you're joining in the persumanisa, make the bracha on seeing it because you're doing some bracha, you're doing something. When somebody does a, so according to you, when you see people reading the Megillah, Mr. Isaac, you see people in a distance reading the Megillah, for some reason, you can't make it to shul. Corona, let's say. You're very careful with corona. You don't want to be there with people. But you see people in shul, walking into shul. You see they have big windows. And you can see the people davening in the shul, leading them girla. That's a mitzvah of Pirsu Manisa. When you see those people, you should say a birchas haroah.
Or it's not a visual people, experience.
What?
Megillah is not a visual experience.
Megillah is not a visual experience. Okay, so you say, fine. So you give me another svara. So what you're saying, both Avi and David, is a gishmak esvara. Tosfos doesn't say what you're saying. So that's a polite way of saying you're wrong. let's see what Tosfos says. Number one, Tosfos says the first bullet point. What's the difference between Ner Chanukah, where Chachamim instituted a birchas mitzvah, mishum chavivas hanes? What does that mean? We love Chanukah? Or we love the Nes of Chanukah, or maybe that's exactly what David just said. Maybe that means Pirsumanisa. Just if he meant Pirsumanisa, he should have said Pirsumanisa. Tosfos knows the words Pirsumanisa. But there's Chavivas Hanes more here. I don't know what this means.
But Yosha Ber was fond to say that drinking of the four cups of wine on Pesach is also Pirsumanisa.
That's correct. That's also
that would be a visual experience too. So
that is correct. Yeah. You would make a bracha when you see somebody drinking four cups of wine. It's also different for someone, correct? Okay, look at the next bullet point of Tosfos. You know why, says Tosfos, there's only a birchas haroah by Chanukah candles and not by other mitzvahs? Gam yishum sheyish kama b'nei adam she'ein lahem batim ve'ein b'yodam l'kayim ha-mitzvah. Tosfos says it's a consolation prize. Some mitzvah is a consolation prize for people who don't have a house and therefore can't light. Excellent. Somebody who doesn't have a house and therefore can't have a mezuzah. Very good point. We should give him a birchas haroah. You see somebody installing a mezuzah or has a mezuzah installed, you should make a birchas haroah. Fascinating point. I don't know how to answer you. There is a longish way to answer you, which we're not going to get into, but you're making a great point. What do you see from Tosfos? I don't really care about birchas haroah because that's not the topic of tonight's shir. But from Tosfos, I see a very fundamental point. Tosfos says black on white, and you think it's obvious, but I'm going to show you so it's not going to be obvious, that we have to let you have a special exception by Hanukkah candles, because if you don't have a house, you're not going to be able to do the mitzvah. So we have to give you something to do. We feel bad for you. I don't know. If somebody can't afford tefillin, do we give them birchas hara? I guess you could borrow somebody else's tefillin. You have somebody else has a dal minim, you could borrow a dal minim. But a house, it has to be your house. So I feel bad that it's not supposed to be for everybody. But a house, apparently Tosfos says, since not everybody has a house, if you don't have a house, you can't do the mitzvah. What do you see from Tosfos or Bosai? In order to do the mitzvah, you must have a house. It's a din on the bias. That's the chiv on the bias. The third answer, we don't have to get into, because that's not really what we need right now. Now, the Taz takes this point and brings it out to a very, to a great crescendo. And the Taz is going to address Shaiget every single year, at least, I'm sure. You've been asked by your by people who you know the following shah that the Taz was asked. But let's first see what the Taz is based on. The Shulchan Aruch says, Hilchos Chanukah, Tafrei Shayin Zayin, Sif, Abeis, I believe. What happens if you're eating in one place, you're sleeping in another place? Keshavach Sanoi, or similar to the question of Ach Sanoi, where do you lie? Where you slept? Where you ate? Look at what the Rama says. He quotes a Rashba. Vish Am Omrim, Dibizman Hazesh, Shemad Lik Bifnim Mamish. Nowadays, we don't light outside anyway, we light inside. So should I light inside where I sleep or where I eat? Yadlik b'makom she'ochel. Okay, so based on this Ramah, it comes out that if you're going to your, right, Baruch Hashem, I'm very lucky, my parents live around the corner from me. If I want to go, we're going to take the kids, we're going to go eat by Saba and Safta on one of the nights of Hanukkah. The Ramah says you should light, you could light b'makom she'ochel, right? That's what the Ramah says, didn't he? So a lot of people think they're going to go, or are you going to a wedding? So I heard on Rabbi Zev Smith was giving shir on this topic. I actually spoke to him today to get some of the marmakomos that he had spoken out in his shir. In the shir, he said that I don't know if he was at a wedding or he was told about a wedding, this big fancy wedding that was on Hanukkah a few years ago. And the caterer put out 600 menorahs. I don't know if they held, like, I don't know if it was 600 families, 600 couples, 600 people. They put out 600 menorahs at a wedding. Well, based on the Ramah says, if you have to decide where you're going to be, where you're going to light, yadlik b'makom she'ochel. So the caterer said, this balabas, whoever made this wedding, said, okay, we're going to provide. I don't want to have to adjust my wedding. I want a nice Sunday wedding on Hanukkah when everyone's home. Maybe it ended up on December 25th, whatever it was. It was a good day. I want my wedding at the right time. I want a long wedding. We're going to have 600 menorahs set up. That's what comes out from this Ramah, right? Comes the Taz and says, absolutely not. Look at what the Taz says. The Taz says, look at the second paragraph of source number four. Venira. When you have two different places where your life takes place, you have a house, a room where you eat, and a room where you sleep. So then the Ramah tells us, what's more chashuv? The place where you eat. However, Mashain Kane, look at what I underline, because this is a halacha that you will definitely come across people who are missing the point. You live somewhere in a city. And you go out for a meal to your in-laws, to your parents, to your brother-in-law, to your friend, to a chasana. Pshita. It's obvious you can't light where you're eating if you live in that same city. You have to go home and light in your house. And then go to your dinner, go to your friends, go to the wedding, or when you come back from the wedding. What happens if you want to eat right now? You're hungry. Achazto taiva. Achzo taiva sachil. You want to eat now. But it's man hadlaka. And you're on the other side of town. You're hungry. Very simple. Send a WhatsApp to your next door neighbor and tell him to light in your house. Send a shliach. Send your son to your house. He'll light in your house. Be mekayemitz in your house. And then you could eat wherever you want. But your lighting must be in your house. You know what it's like if somebody would light in their friend's house or at the wedding or at their parents' house down the block? Look at the bottom paragraph of page one. B'zeh she'yochel kan shal shdayim v'yosh l'mukomo ein shum svara loma sh'yadlik sham v'lo b'beisa, as opposed to his house. You know what it would be like? Look what I underlined. It would be as though ki'ilu omi b'shas hadlok arechov ha'ir. You know what it's like? Lighting in your friend's house or at the wedding, I guess, is just like lighting on the street. There ain't shayach lo sham hadlok. There's no shayach between you and the street. It's not your house. There's no point in lighting there. But says the top of the Taz on top of page two, even though I know a lot of people who unfortunately make this mistake. Hagamshir is not. I know some people who've made this mistake, and they think that that's what the Ramah is saying. The Ramah is saying that you could light where you're eating. That's not what it means, Taz. And the Taz clearly says that the Hadlaka is totally on the bias, not where you are. It's not a din where you are. It's a din where your house is. And I don't care where you are. You could be wherever you want. Make sure your house has the candles, not you. That's what we see. So Rabosai, you know the phrase, ner ishu beiso. And I want to ask you, which one? Is the mitzvah ner ish? Is a mitzvah on you? Or is it a mitzvah on the beiso? It's clear from what we've learned so far, from Tosus, who said explicitly that the mitzvah is only on a bias if you have a bias. This Taz says explicitly it's only on the bias, not where you are, but on your bias. And if you would light, even in the wrong house, it says, oh, you're lighting on a street corner and it's meaningless. So if we stop right here, what would I tell our dear friend who's making aliyah and not going to be homeless? You don't got no home. And the mechayev is the bias. If you don't have a bias, so you're pater, which is what I thought when I first... spoke to him about this question before I delved into the sugya.
Pay somebody a dollar, rent their house?
He's not in that house. You could rent a house. I could have five houses in Miami and on Vail, but I'm not living there. If I'm not there, it's not a house where you are. It has to be in the house where you are. I think you have to be living there. If you happen to own a timeshare in Disney World, I don't think, and you're on the plane going from here to Eretz Israel, you're homeless or whatever else it is. We own a timeshare. You can have somebody light on your timeshare when you're not even living there. I don't know if that's considered. I hear you. So I don't know if that would work. Okay. Now we get to the most important tshuva on this topic, and that's the Marsham. Marsham from Bejan, from the Gedolei HaPoskim, was asked by the Rav of Leipzig, Rav Shimon Waltach. This is Marsham, Achelik Da'al Simon Kuf Mevav. The most famous tshuva on this topic is this Marsham, who is asked a very simple question and gives a very simple answer. It's only a 4-line tshuva, 6-line tshuva, because I broke up the lines. I made it longer. The shaila is, are you allowed to light candles on the Bahn? The Bahn. You speak German or Yiddish? What's the Bahn? Autobahn? Well, nowadays, it's the train. Referring to the train. So this is source number 5. The Ma'asham Chelik Da'as Simon Kuf Mem Vav asked, "Imutu lahadlik ner Chanuka al Haban, which is the Rakevet on the train." And clearly, he's talking about an overnight train, right? Not like the train, like the A train from here to Queens. Not like the LIRR from here to Penn Station. Because then, just go to Penn Station, go to your hotel and light there, or go from work and come home and light head home. We're talking about an overnight train. Okay, so I don't know if he's talking about a sleeping car or not a sleeping car. It will be a little bit similar or different, as we'll see in a minute. Says Ma'ashan, the first point is, there's no Gemara and there are no Rishonim who talk about this. I don't know. Look what he says. Lo matzasi adav mavur. I have no sources to talk to you about. Aval, but let's think about it. Misvara. Hello, Misha Shilein ba'ad kol halayla. If you paid a fee, your passage fare, you paid your whatever it costs for your seat on the Amtrak or on your Delta flight or your El Al flight. I'll throw in Wallow here. Have a kesachalo based dira. You rented a place. Mr. Klinkowitz, you didn't just rent a place somewhere else. You rented the place where you are. You had a hotel for a night. If you're in a hotel for the night, that's your place. Lechov lishon sham chayv b'nei Chanukah. If you rent a seat on a train, I don't even think of it as if it's a sleeping berth or it's just a chair. You rented your chair. If you rented your chair, that's your makom that you rented. It's not just that you paid your passage. It's not just that you paid for your ticket. You're paying for your ticket is renting your chair. And therefore, if you rented your chair, you should have, that's your hotel, that's your room, and therefore you should be able to You should be able to light, or you have to light, at your seat. Now, obviously, you can't.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
A plane, I can't know, just quickly, you know, dismantle, go to the bathroom, take apart the, you know, step on the toilet, step on the seat, dismantle the fire alarm, you know, and light yourself a menorah. Well, first of all, if it's in the bathroom, it's not at your seat. You rented your seat, not the bathroom, right? So you can do it at your seat. You can't light a fire on a plane, obviously. But in a rakevet, maybe you could light a one candle for a half hour if you're a little bit careful. If you tell them you want to have a scented candle on a train, on one of these big trains, maybe they could get away with it. Oh, so that's, I wasn't going to talk about that right now, but he asks in the last line, look at the second to last line, right above six. He says, "V'afta ban eino omid b'makom echad brachel k'mahalech." Maybe there's a problem that this can't be considered a house or a bias or a makom kavua because it's not kavua. It's traveling. It's moving. Rachel k'mahalech is as though you're walking. Tafa is that if something is moving, it's as though you're walking. So if you're in a chariot, if you're in a wagon, it's as though you're walking. So if you're in a train, the train's moving, it's as though you're walking. If you're walking, maybe it's not a bias. Says the last line. Nah, no one says lo nimtza b'shum makom shiyeh tzarech. This is right before the six. Shiyeh tzarech bias kavua. The mitzvah is b'shum menisa. Doesn't matter that you have to have this kind of bias, that kind of bias. Let me ask you a question. By mezuzah, you need a bias. It's dalet amos or dalet amos. For Chanukah, which is the function of b'shum menisa, does it have to? That bias has to be a certain size? No, absolutely not. It's b'shum menisa. It's where you live. It's a bias where you live. It's not a like a bias with a capital B. A din chalashem din bias. Yeah, maybe for mezuzah you need a chalashem din bias. I'll give you a very good example. Let's say you have a long, thin house, 7 feet wide, just short of dalet amos wide, and 20 feet long. You could have a house like that. One of those, you know, those brownstones in the city that are very narrow, but they're deep. So let's talk about really now, 7 feet wide, which is okay. You could have a bed, which is about 3.5 feet wide, and then you have another 3.5 feet, plenty of room. And so, okay, a long, narrow house. So that house wouldn't, of course, that house would be chayiv in mezuzah. It's a bias, but it's not chayiv in mezuzah.
Let me ask you a question. If you have a homeless person that lives in a cardboard box, and that's his house.
Then why are you calling him homeless? What are the parameters? Is a house that buys a cardboard? You're saying there's a din of cardboard that has to be only Roy Leshiva. I never heard of a din of Roy Leshiva. I heard of a din of Roy Leshiva when it comes to Sukkah. I never heard of a din of Roy Leshiva when it comes to maybe that's his house. If it's a real cardboard box, that's well, really.
And Kala that are getting married on Hanukkah, they're homeless because they basically left their parents' house and they didn't, most of them don't go to their own apartment that night. So that's they're great. Really homeless.
So they are the one people who can light at the Chasna Hall. You know why? Because they rented a very expensive room for themselves for the evening. It's called a wedding hall. It's a $10,000, $20,000 rental. And therefore, they are the only people who can light with the bracha. Yes, because they left their original house where they came from. They didn't move anywhere else. Right now, they're homeless, except for the fact that they're renting a place right now. And therefore, they should be able to light at the hotel.
I read a shita today that says, being the fact that the Baal rents the room for Yichud, they should light in the Yichud room.
I hear that could be a chumrah. To rent the Yichud room is sort of funny because you rented the entire hall for $20,000. You give the guy another nickel for the Yichud room? Come on. Okay. The Shver rented the hall. But he rented it for you? Okay. I think that's fine. Okay. So let us just ask one very quick question. Right, exactly. Who bought the ring? do you remember what Rashi said in the very beginning? Rashi said, who's the one who says Birchas Haroeh? Somebody who can't light himself, like somebody on a boat. What does that mean? Sounds like if you're on a boat, you don't light candles. So how could the Marsham say that if you're on a train, you do light candles? The train has 4 sides. A boat has 4 sides and a top. A boat doesn't have 4 sides on a top? So let's look at what the Marsham is. The Marsham knew this, Rashi. Let's look at the Marsham who raises this question. Mashakos of Rashi in the middle of five. Mashakos of Rashi b'yoshe b'sfina that you don't light, that you only have brichas aroah if you're on a boat, but you can't actually light the candles if you're on a boat. What do you mean? How could I tell you that you should light on a train? What's the difference between the Rashi says you don't light on a boat, so I assume you don't light on a train either. So he says, nah. He says exactly what Eli said. Those boats that they had in the time of the Gemara were open boats without a below kiruy, without a roof. And the wind is blowing on the boat. That doesn't have a din bias. But if you have four walls around you and a roof on top of your head, like on a train, that's totally fine. Between you and me, this is the shverest answer I've ever heard. Let's go back 2,000 years before, 3,000 years before Gemara. There's Noah built an ark, right? And the ark had how many floors? And it was waterproof, and there was a roof, and a window maybe? Okay, let's go move forward in history. Yonah. Yonah was where? He was in the lower floor, right? He was not on the upper deck? Maybe, I don't know, maybe yes, maybe no. So what you're telling me then, at the time of the Gemara, they couldn't figure out to build boats like they did 2,000 years before? Okay, I don't know. I'm not an expert in ancient boats, but that's my Sham's suggestion. Okay, so either way, you have the Gadol, one of the Poskei Hador, the Ma'asham Paskins, that a boat is considered a house, and therefore you could light because it is your house. Great. Now, Rabosai, the shiur is going to begin. It's going to begin with the Levush, because the Levush is going to take everything that we said and turn it on its head, literally. Comes the Levush, one of the early Mefarshim on the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch. He's a Talmud of the Ramah. One of the earliest Pirushim on the Shulchan Aruch. And look what he says in Tafresh Ayin Zayin Sif Beis. Halan v'beis goy. Let's say you're in a goy's house. Afil ein lo shem chedem yuchad. I'm in source number six. Let's say you're in a goy's house and you don't have anywhere to light. You can't light. You don't have your own room. You can't light there. Oh, halon biyar. You're sleeping in the forest. I can't be any more explicit than that. Sleeping in a forest. Tzorech lahadlik shomreich. Wherever you are, there. What does he hold? Of course, it's near a pirsum anis. That's the whole reason why you have to light. So you could look at a flame and have the pirsum anis to look at the flame. Yeah, that's true, but that might not be a chiddush. Pirsum anis to you, at least. But what is he holding? You have to light? You don't need a house. He says light in the forest. He says it explicitly. You remember what the Taz says? The Taz says, if you light at the place where you're eating or at that wedding, it's as though you lit on the street corner. Guess what? The Levush says there's nothing wrong with lighting at the street corner. Well, if the Levush says you could light at the street corner, and the Levush says you could light in a forest next to your sleeping bag, you know where else the Levush would say you could light? On a ship and at a wedding? Oh, you're saying it's where you sleep. You're saying you, but he doesn't hold it. You need a bias. He doesn't hold. There's no bias. There's no bias. So what is it a din in? Near ish ubeso. If it's not beso, then I would say it's a din on the ish. Okay, I will accept your critique for the moment. We're going to go weiter, and then we'll see. Maybe you could be right in the Levush. Okay, either way, what you do see clearly is that the Levush says explicitly. Now, the Levush predates the Taz. Not by much. The Taz is very early, but the Levush is before him. The Levush says you could light in the forest, no house whatsoever. If anybody has some Daven Marav, does anyone have some Daven Marav at 9:15? I know you do. Okay, so I'm going to continue a few minutes late because we start a few minutes late. Comes Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, the Posek Acharon, until the Mishnah Berurah came around and became the next Posek Acharon. But the Aruch HaShulchan was the Posek Acharon until that. Look at what the Aruch HaShulchan says. And he says something a little bit. Look at the second paragraph of the Aruch HaShulchan. Vinire, on the bottom of page, towards the bottom of page two, second paragraph of source seven. Nire, Lanius Daiti, Da'ata Shrovan Esius B'Mesilas HaBarzel. What's a Mesilas HaBarzel? The iron track. Right, the railroad. Most traveling is on the railroad. It's obviously hard to light the candles on the railroad. You know what you could do? You could be somech on those who hold that since your wife is lighting in your house, just be yotze with her. Fine. Oh, but there's going to be a problem. You're not going to end up seeing candles on Hanukkah. That night, you're not going to see a lit candle. So therefore, what I do suggest on the bottom of page 7, Lachem, what I underline, Toshi, Yadlik, Nerechad, at least light one candle on the car, on the train, make a bracha on the train that you're traveling, like the Marasham. He's passing like the Marasham. He could make a bracha, and it would be better to be Yotze Bidiyevet. Well, I shouldn't say Bidiyevet. The base mitzvah of one candle, you can't light eight candles on a train. They'll throw you off the train while it's driving fast. But one candle you can get away with. Better do that than to be Yotze with your wife lighting all eight candles at home if you won't end up seeing those any candles. Fine. That would be better. Now, what do you see he holds? You see that he holds that you could light on a train. Does that mean he holds you don't need a house? Maybe he holds that the train is your house. Okay, that we'll wait for that to decide on that. Rabosai, could you light at the what?
The person who asked you is
Yeah, he's taking a plane. He's going to Eretz Yisrael. He's making Aliyah on Hanukkah. He's going to the airport at 3:00. He has a 5 p.m. flight, 5:30 p.m. flight. So he's leaving before his man. He's literally homeless. Literally homeless.
He can light in the airport.
According to who? According to Levush, we just read, he could light in the airport. That's correct. It's no different than the Yar, except for your sweater, you have to sleep there, which I don't know if that's true. According to the Taz says you need a bias. It's like lying on the street. You can't lie on the street. The terminal is a street. Taz says you can't, but Levush says you can. So according to Levush, I should have told him, you don't need a bias. You're not putter. You're not an honest. You don't have a, you have no place to lie. Sure you do. Terminal 3. Terminal 4, I think, actually, right? Terminal 4. Allows Terminal 4? Terminal 4. Okay, Rabosai, can I ask you a very simple question? We all light in shul, right? Every shul lights. It's not Mi'ikar Hadin. It's not Medina de Gemara. It's a minute. We light in shuls with the bracha. Could you light at the Kotel? Because the Kotel is open. So you have to have some Tzuris HaBayis, no? Some. Well, according to, if you need a bias.
Chabad lights in the street.
What?
So Chabad lights in the street.
We're going to get to Chabad right now. Look at the top of page 3. Public lightings. Is that, according to the Taz, could you ride in the street? No. According to Tosas that we saw earlier, Tosas said you need a bias. Could you lie in the street? No. According to Rashi, if you're homeless, could you? Is there any point in lying in the street? No. But what about the Kotel? Is the Kotel any different?
So it's the different thing between lighting for yourself or lighting for just a presumenista of the shul where you are.
So maybe, Dr. Pinter, you're saying what Ellie's saying. Maybe you're saying there's a different din of lighting in a shul than lighting in a house. For example, the halacha is the guy who made the bracha of Shachriyano in the shul, when he goes home, he's going to say another Shachriyano. Why? Because the lighting in the shul is not real lighting to be out to the mitzvah. It's just a din of pirsum anisa, special for shuls. Okay. But that's only special for shuls, not for Times Squares, and not for Paris Park. You know what I'm talking about, some of you. And not for any other. I saw the big one on the right across the street from Cass Carpets. When you make the right turn onto Brookville, right after the new Amazon building, you make the right turn at that concrete machine factory. Right over there at that corner, we make the right turn to Brookville. There's a gigantic window. I just saw it on the way home yesterday. Yeah, getting ready. Okay, look at this fabulous tshuva from Rabbi Yamin Zilber, the Oz Nidburu. He says, you know what? Why did Chazal say that you should light? Where are we supposed to light? Not where do we light. You and I light in the house. Where are we supposed to light? We're supposed to light outside. Why are we supposed to light outside? Pirsumanisa. That means what's the takana? The takana is pirsumanisa. Do it outdoors so you can do pirsumanisa. So if that's the case, then presumably, and that's the whole reason why Chachamim were misakein to light in shuls. So if that's the case, hey, you could light in, right? A big dinner, right, the chazan? Right, chazan? A big dinner? Right? It's not a house. According to Tosus, it shouldn't be good. According to the Rashi, I don't know. According to the Taz, it shouldn't be good. How can you say a bracha at a dinner? This Az Nidburu. this Az Nidbra, this sheet of Rabbi Yom Zil, but look what he's going to say. In the first paragraph that I cut and pasted, Omnam, look at the fourth line of this section. Lahadle b'chol mokom shemisasvim bo rabim, any place where a lot of people gather, yesh lomer tahatakana haista, rak b'mokom shemisasvim bo rabim, and therefore, Beis Knesses, Beis HaMedrash, have the kol ha'pachas mokom hamiyuchel rabim. Okay, so we're not going to get into that. V'chein, look at the last two lines of the first paragraph. V'chein yesh levayach bekotel hamaravi, below shum pikpuk. Because, of course, it's a shul, even though there are no, he says there are mechitzas there, right? There are some mechitzas. Certainly inside the cave, that would be definitely fine, because that's a shul, an indoor shul, then of course you can. But even outside, it's sort of the plaza is a little bit submerged. There is some kind of, you have to go down an incline. So there are some, it's fully enclosed somewhat. Okay. Let's now look at the second paragraph of this Az Nidbru, who says it black on white. We're going to see one person say it even more clearly than this, but let's look at what he says. The Masha Shamati, I heard Sheish Mistapkin Lomer Shadlokas Neros who Kosher Din Bias. I heard that people say that you have to have a bias. Yeah, people like Tosfos, people like the Taz, one of the main Mefreshim on the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, I know there's some people who said that. Ein Lo Shum Basis. They have no basis for what they're saying, such people who think that you have to have a house to light. Somebody was on the road, and this is the second paragraph of this cutout. Right? What about the Rashi who said that if you're on a boat, you can't say you can't light? Sounds like you can't light on a boat. So he's going to say, no, that just means that it's not practical to light on a boat. Of course, if you travel, you can and should and must light on a boat. But on a boat, they're not going to let you. You try lighting a fire on a little boat. They'll throw you overboard. You're going to light the whole boat is made out of wood, and you're in the water. It's going to, I don't know, maybe we'll put the fire out, so I'm not sure. What happens if you light a wooden robot on fire? It burns until it gets wet, but then it's too late, I guess. Okay, so don't try it. He said, says the Az Nidbru, you don't need a house. You don't need a house. According to him, you're traveling on the road, pull over on this, you're driving to Toronto through the night, you're driving to Montreal through the night, driving to Cincinnati tonight. Somebody just came from Cincinnati for the weekend. He's going to go back Sunday night, Monday, driving through the night, no problem. Pull over for half an hour and light in your car. Maybe everyone would agree to that. Maybe even though the Marshal, maybe that's a bias. I don't know if it's a real bias. No, the Taz would say it's not a bias. Taz would say you need a house. Taz would say you need a house. Yeah, pull over maybe. Maybe you don't have to pull over just for safety. But for half an hour, no problem. For a 10-hour drive, you need to last a little bit. Pull over, light a candle at the, somewhere in your car, and that should be okay. And now we're going to see the final, we're going to see two more things. We're going to see the Tzitz Eliezer, who has some incredible words. We're going to skip a lot of it because we don't have time. And then we're going to see some fabulous applications that Rav Shlomo Zalman applied in some very practical cases in Eretz Yisrael. Army soldiers and trenches, what's the deal of a trench, what's the deal of a tank, that we'll get to in just 2 minutes. But I want to share with you a few words of the Tzitz Eliezer without going through his proof. He's trying to show there's an unusual opinion who happens to say that when it comes to Hanukkah candles, you can't just appoint a shliach, you have to be next to your shliach. That's weird. I could send the shliach 5,000 miles away to Mekadosh Rami, a woman. I could send 5,000 miles away to do some other mitzvah. But for some reason, there's a Shilta Giborim who says that if you want a shliach for Hanukkah candles, you have to be next to them. Why? What's the? Yeah, right. I'll let you do it. Maybe you don't have hands. Maybe you're handcuffed. I don't know why. So somebody else. Okay, that's a Shilta Giborim, which we don't. It's not our topic. We're not talking about shlichas now. But you know what the Tzitz Eliezer says to explain it? He says something that the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles is different than other mitzvahs. I could appoint a shliach to marry a woman for me. I could appoint a shliach to give a get for me. I could appoint a shliach to be mafresh shumas and maisis for me. Could I appoint a shliach to put on tefillin for me? No. Why not? It's a din in my guf. That's exactly what Tzitz Eliezer wants to suggest as the reason why you can't just appoint a shliach to go do a hadlakas ner Chanukah for you. You have to be there yourself. You know why? Because it's a mitzvah on your fill in the blank. Ner ish u? Forget Beisa. Ner ish. It's a mitzvah on you. It's a mitzvah on you.
Everybody else doesn't hold it that way.
What? Hold on. Look at his words, because his words are the strongest words I've ever seen. And I want to thank Rosetta Smith for pointing this, for drawing my attention to this tshuva. Look at what I underlined in the second, third paragraph of source number 9. His question that the Tzitz Eliezer was asked, if you go on a teal during Chanukah and you're sleeping under the stars, tachas kipat hashamayim, sleeping under the stars. Now that's weird, right? It's freezing here. No one's going to sleep out. There's something called snow winters camping. There's such a thing. I had a student who did that. I had a student years ago who was a nature guy, and he did winter camping. But
it
no
one else. It was an Eretz Yisrael. It's not that cool.
But not only that. Not only an Eretz Yisrael, if you are from Australia, Rabbi Osai, then, or if you're from Peru or Chile or Argentina, Rabbi Osai, this is the middle of the summer. Hanukkah is summertime. So Hanukkah, we have our winter break during Hanukkah. They have their summer vacation during Hanukkah. So they're going camping trips in Chile and in Panama. Well, Panama, they're always going on camping trips. In Chile and in Brazil and in Australia in the middle of Hanukkah. So the question is, yeah, they are going, they can't be out under the sun, under the stars. Could they light their Hanukkah candles under the stars? Look at the third paragraph of source number 9 with the big bold words. The mitzvah of Nechanukah is an obligation that's put on, placed on, akarkafta di gavri, on your head, on your shoulders. It has nothing to do with any chepta. It's not a din in the house. It's a din on your body, just like tefillin. And therefore, just like tefillin, you can't appoint a shliach. So too, this shilta giborim, who we quoted again, which is not on topic, you can't appoint a regular shliach. It's a din in the body. It's a ner ish. Who based on the family, not in the bias, like Tosa said. And wherever you are, that's where you light. You don't need a house. It's a din in you. It's a din in your body having the candles where your body is. That's the shita of the Tzitz Eliezer, and therefore he holds 100%. You can light wherever you are, whether you're on a train, whether you're on a plane, whether you're in an airport terminal, whether you're on a street, whether you're in a forest, or whether you're camping under the sun without any forest, just on a beach. Whatever the case was. And that is, Rabbi Osai, the opinion of Tzitz Eliezer. So what's coming out? What do we have here? What we have here is a gigantic machlokas, Rabbi Osai. We have a gigantic machlokas. We have some very, very fundamental, we have an explicit tosis and a taz. To say that it's a din of bias. Without a house, there's no point to make a bracha. It's like make a bracha on a street corner. And then we have the Lush who says, because it's a hate. Make the bracha on the street corner. Eli said, maybe it's only if you're sleeping on the street corner. The Tzitz Eliezer clearly says it has to do with where you are. Well, it is where you are. The question is, do you have to sleep there? That's the connection you're adding. Right. So it seems I would assume that according to this new opinion, the Lavush, that if you're at a party, where if you're there, according to Tzitz Eliezer, it's a din on your body, on your head to light, not a din in the house. It's a din on your head. Maybe you could make a bracha. Maybe you could at a party. Maybe you could light where you're visiting. Maybe you could light according to this. Now, our typical psak is that we're not making like that. We do assume typically that you could only light at your house in a house. And therefore, our dear friend who's making aliyah, I would tell him, don't light with a bracha in the terminal. But I would say, if you light in the terminal, again, where to do it in the terminal, he'll have to figure it out. Outside on the curb, if you could light up a cigarette for half an hour, why can't you light a candle for half an hour? If he brings a birthday kid, that's great. Very smart. Yeah, just leave the birthday cake 100%. Very good. Excellent. Have a birthday cake in a glass box with a candle. Or he could pretend like put on a costume with like a cape and some top hat and hold a lantern. Something like that. I don't know. You know, we'll figure out something creative. that would be a fulfillment. He'd be able to make a bracha, probably according to the Tzitzilyezer, and the Levush, and the Binyamin Zilber, probably. We, I don't think, would do that. But I would tell him, you should light a candle. You should light a candle for half an hour at the terminal. And biyotzi, all those dais. I wouldn't make a bracha. But I told him last week before I learned this, you don't have a house, you're putter. But we see that you don't need a house, according to so many of these shitas. It's machlokas, yeah. And we'll be machmir to not make a bracha. I wouldn't make a bracha without a house. Rabosai, Rav Shlomo Zalman feels very clearly one way in the two ways that I just presented. Let's finish off with this, in source number 10, a few pieces from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Sefer Halicha Shlomo, which was posthumous, so he didn't write this, but it's collected from his writings. Look at what Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted. Look at how I quoted from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Ein mitzvahs ne chanukah nuhagas ela be bayis. V'lachein, mish ein lo bayis, o shubiyom ze ein lo bayis kavu, you're homeless, or even for the day homeless, like on a train, or on a plane, enoma, just you don't like Hanukkah candles. He's clearly holding like that first opinion that we built up to say that you have to have a house. Therefore, look on the second column of the Dvar Halacha, the red line, Chayalim hanimtzim basadeh, if you have soldiers who are in the field and they're sleeping in the field, or you're on a camping trip in Melbourne or in Santiago or in Brazil on your overnight, you're in the field under the stars, you don't make a bracha, you don't light candles. That's the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman. And then he goes, what if you're in a trench? So then he says, tries to figure out how deep the trench is to be considered a bias. Maybe if it's, you know, four tefachim high and you're sleeping in the trench, hard to imagine, but these were shilas in the Yom Kippur War. These were shilas. The Yom Kippur War, there was apparently, you know, better than me, there was after the Yom Kippur War that continued for a few months, and there were soldiers on the front that were in either trenches or in the fields, whatever it was. And tanks, of course, is the last Maramakam on the bottom where you see my bold, if you see the lights that are bolded, he says, your tank is your house. If you're living and sleeping in a tank, if you're on a border and you're living in a tank, so that tank is your house. Now, I don't know if Army protocol allows you to light fires in tanks. I'm sure there's a sign that says, Ein mashnim kan, no smoking in tanks. Especially, you know, if you have gunpowder nearby, you don't want to smoke in your tanks. But he says, that's your house. So you should try to light, if you can, on the doorway. The Pesach HaPasuach Lecha, is that right? Pesach HaSoch Lecha, near the door of the tank, on the outside, that's what you should ideally light. If not, he says, as I highlighted, at least b'shas atchak panas kis, a flashlight that has a battery. At least that, something. But a tank is chayiv, he says. That's your house. So Abosa, halacha l'maisa, what are we going to tell our friend who's making aliyah? He's going to be homeless for a day. Yeah. Yeah, it's a house. Yeah, they sleep. They're there for as long as they're on duty. And, you know, if you're on Gaza border during when they were calling people up and they're there for a few days, you know, they're there for a week on the border, right? Where are they sleeping? They didn't bring in a hotel. They didn't have a hotel on the border, you know? They slept in that tank. So what will I tell this fellow? I'll tell this fellow, if he could turn on a flashlight at the terminal for half an hour. If you could do an incandescent flashlight, that would be great. That would be great, an incandescent flashlight. If somebody has an incandescent flashlight to lend him, that would be great because he got rid of all of his, he emptied his house last week. So if you have an incandescent light bulb to lend to our dear friend who you know who he is, he'd be very appreciative, and stand there for half an hour in the terminal without a bracha. And this way he'll at least be able to say something according to all these sheets that say that you don't need a bias. According to the sheets that say you do need a bias, he's putter entirely.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.